inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Father Joe Mamich is our guest today on God Calling, and he is at St. Joseph's in Strongsville. Father, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's certainly a privilege to be here today.
You grew up in Strongsville, I think.
I sure did. Actually, I grew up, and it's pretty rare. You know, I'm always very conscious, even since my assignment there at St. Joe's, about the scripture about a prophet's not without honor except in his native place. So it was kind of ironic. But yeah, I did. I actually grew up at St. John Newman in Strongsville and went through our public school district up until high school when I went to Padua for high school. And then it'll be 10 years, actually, 10 years this October that I came back to Strongsville as the pastor of St. Joe's.
Our parish in Avon Lake, Father Ron Wersch, from Avon Lake and St. Joseph's as well.
Oh, look at that. I didn't know he was actually from Avon Lake.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Grew up in a different parish, okay. But yeah, back to Avon Lake. Does that make things more difficult, easier?
You know what? It's kind of funny, actually. When I got appointed there, I remember having some conversations with some friends. At that time, I was actually the parochial vicar. One of the parochial vicars at St. Basil's here in Brecksville.
Big parish.
And, very big. And when I was there, people were like, oh, you know, you're going to bring up all your memories from childhood. I said, luckily, I kept my nose clean. So that made it easy, but it actually really was helpful in trying to do some stuff in town because at the time, the pastor of St. John Newman was the pastor I had grew up with. And knowing some people in town, we really had some doors open pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think we were able to accomplish some stuff because of the familiarity that I had and they had already with me.
Our kind of goal here is to talk about people's vocation, what called them to marriage, single life, sisterhood, or the priesthood. How did it begin for you, Father?
It's kind of ironic. Every time we come to the springtime, I always think about that story because it happened around my first communion time. And the founding pastor of St. John's was Father Frank LaRocca, who has since passed. And I remember I was very curious. There was a window from the main body of the church at St. John's into the sacristy. And I was always very curious to see what was going on in there and to see what were they doing back there. And I remember him saying to me something to the effect of this. Who knows, Joey, maybe one day you'll be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember him taking me and my parents back there to show me around. And then there's even a picture at my first communion time with me standing behind the chapel at the time, like with my hands raised, like you would now even days as a priest at the
uh-huh.
altar. And that was implanted as early as that, and it kind of came and went throughout growing up and everything, but I always kept circling back to that as a desire of mine.
When did the seeds start to sprout?
Yeah, that's a really good question. When I was in junior high, having been a PSR student, which is kind of funny because I make a joke with our PSR kids. I said, I was like you. I didn't want to go to PSR either. I went to school all day long, and then I had to go for an hour and a half in the evening every week. Like, why am I doing this? And but it was about that time my parents, around my time of confirmation, junior high, eighth grader for confirmation, said, you know, perhaps you should consider a Catholic school for a full-time thing. So that's when I started looking at Catholic high schools and settled on Padua. And I saw it really grow in the course of high school. And then at the end of high school, that's when I decided that it was worth an exploration. And so I got in contact with, at the time, I think it was both Father Mike Woos and then Father Bob Steck, who had been the vocation directors of the diocese, connected with them and then took the plunge to go to Borromeo
mm-hmm.
and John Carroll as a college student.
And away we went.
The rest was history. And, you know, one of the coolest things, and even today, I think about any time we talk about anybody considering the priesthood, Borromeo's is a no-loss proposition because, you know, really Borromeo exists as a house of discernment here in the diocese. You're with other guys who are exploring that possibility, but you're also getting the college education at John Carroll. So, my undergrad degree was in psychology. So as I was going through college, if I didn't go on to St. Mary's for the formal training for the priesthood, at least I already had a pretty good, solid religious foundation. I had the formation experience. I had philosophy plus the degree at John Carroll. And I got to tell you, having the psychology degree has really helped not only with the spiritual formation, but now having that scientific background, I go into things you know, work with couples for marriage or people going through troubles, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so at some point, you hit the accelerator there. Was that at
Yeah, it was while I was at Borromeo, because I always found myself really, really thinking, I could do this. And actually, you know, that's part of the discernment is whether you go on to St. Mary's. And when I went on to St. Mary's, so that's our five-year graduate program here in the diocese, they do a third-year internship. So kind of like in the middle. It's two academic years, an internship, and then two more years basically. I was assigned as an intern at St. Jude's in Elyria.
Okay.
And I remember waking up one day saying to myself, I could see myself doing this for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Because as an intern, you're doing a lot of things that are really kind of the pulse of the parish. You're getting involved in the sacramental life, the spiritual life, teaching, doing a lot of stuff that you would be doing as a priest. And it's really kind of a trial run to see, could I do that? And I remember waking up saying, yes, Lord, I think, yeah, I can do this. And, well, now I'll be ordained. My classmates and I will be ordained 15 years this May. So kind of gone by at the snap of a finger.
Pretty much sounds like you were always encouraged.
Yes. Yeah. And that's actually one of the most interesting things is that my mom makes this joke because I'm an only child. And my mom makes this joke because people have said before to her, like, well, you're giving up grandkids. And she said, what a better mother-in-law than I can have than the church. Yeah. At least I don't have to worry about my son being taken care of. And so all throughout, I did get a lot of encouragement. But I think that encouragement was rooted, too, in it never got the sense like my parents, like, you have to be a priest, but you have to do what you feel called to do and what's using your talents to the best of your ability. So whatever that's going to be, find it, explore it, and we'll support you in that.
Have you run into people, young men maybe in your parish, who've been considering it, but they're not being encouraged?
Yes. Yeah. We've had that experience. And not so much in this parish where I've had people been actively working against them, but I've had that in some previous assignments where people are like, oh, why would you do that? Why would you throw your life away? And it's kind of interesting because I see, you know, I have some very, very close friends who are married. I have an aunt who's never married, who was single all of her life. So I see kind of different vocations, and I know it takes work in all those vocations, but you never really throw your life away in any of those vocations. I mean, you really – you're called, obviously, what is Jesus to do? He calls us to love God above all things, love our neighbors and ourselves. And you do that in so many ways. And I think in the priesthood, certainly for me, it's really allowed me to really make a difference and mm-hmm. allow God to work through me. I mean, when Bishop Perez was here, you also talk about oftentimes, you know, don't ever underestimate God's ability to work in, through, and despite us.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, looking back on these 15 years, you know, certainly there are times, most amazing thing is through homilies and stuff when people say, Father, your words really spoke to me. And yeah. I like to ask them, like, well, what did you hear? And sometimes it's nothing I said. But from the mouth to the ear is the Holy Spirit's involved in that.
You talk about life thrown away. I knew Bishop Lennon very, very well. When he said he was going to go to the seminary, he had a couple of aunts that said, well, there's a life wasted. Mm-hmm. Yet he becomes the Bishop of Cleveland.
And he becomes the Bishop of Cleveland. And you know what? In theory, I mean, it's really not about numbers. You know, in my case, I remember actually talking about, I think at one point, talking to my family. So I'm the last one that has this last name, that has the last name of Mamich. And, like, what happens to it? Well, you know, in theory, this life, and in the case of, you know, you mentioned Bishop Lennon there, people remember you far beyond perhaps you might have been remembered just if you had your own family,
sure.
per se, because you've entered into the lives of, in the case of the bishop, hundreds of thousands of people. And then in my case, certainly probably thousands by the people I've
for
met
sure.
over my time.
All right. Father, stay right there. We're going to be back on God Calling after a couple of brief messages as we talk to Father Joe Mamich from St. Joseph's in Strongsville. Stay with us. Father Joe Mamich is our guest from St. Joseph's in Strongsville. I'm Paul Orlowski. This is God Calling. We join you every week at this time, Sunday afternoon, and we hope you'll join us each and every week. Our topic is vocations, and this, of course, Father Mamich's priestly vocation, but a vocation that some health challenges have interfered with a little bit. Father, you've had a tough few years here. A broken foot most recently.
Oh, my. Well, you've done your research, haven't you?
yes, I have.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. You know, in our last segment, we were talking about growing up and stuff. And ever since being a kid, I got diagnosed in high school with a disease called IgA neuropathy, which affected my kidney. So in 2014, I received a kidney transplant from a parishioner of mine who just, I mean, and I actually just saw this is happening now in our southern part of the diocese right now, Father Lewis Thomas,
mm-hmm.
One of his, a former parishioner, I think, is giving him a liver. And so in my case, prior to that transplant, unfortunately, I had to have hip replaced. And then things were good for about 6 years. And then just recently in May of 2020, as if COVID wasn't enough, and trying to deal with all of that, then I got diagnosed with cancer. And really as a product of the anti-rejection drugs I was on. And I remember one of the Cleveland Clinic has been the transplant program I went through, so they're the ones that helped me in the cancer. And one of my one of the transplant teams said, "You know, Father, I'm sorry, but this typically happens within the first couple of years, not 6 years out." I said, "Well, that's the way this has gone for me. If there's a complication, I find it." And so, like, so I got the cancer. I mean, it was very it was an aggressive form of cancer, but thanks be to God, to a lot of prayers and the medical community we have here. They, you know, very happy with what it looked like. It's in remission now. And then, like you said, unfortunately, my two fat feet in back in November, I was coming in the office, tripped over my 2 feet, and subsequently 2 days later found out I broke my foot.
Right before Christmas.
Right before Christmas. So I got the great joy of having a boot for the season of Christmas.
Well, you mentioned all these people and prayers and something else that's going on, but I have done my homework. And we got a guy on the line right now who might want to talk to you. I bet you know who it is. Name is Jim.
Hey, Father Joe.
Good job. Hello, Jim.
Jim Lechko is joining us. And Jim, of course, is the fellow that donated the kidney. Right, Jim?
It's been 7 years already.
Wow. Father is smiling from ear to ear, Jim.
Good job, Paul. Good work.
Jim, tell me how you came to this decision. It's not just yours. I'm sure it's a family decision. Tell me about that.
Back in springtime of 2013, Father was making announcement at all the masses, telling us about this, you know, what he was going through with his kidney, because he didn't want rumors going around about what was going on. He wanted everybody to hear it from the horse's mouth. So, you know, he told us that he was going to need this kidney transplant. And, you know, I really didn't act on this for about a month. But somehow, right, you know, when he made that announcement, I just kind of had this feeling that, you know, somehow I was going to be involved in this. And you're right, it was a family decision. I had some interesting conversations with my wife about this decision, as you can imagine. But in the end, you know, the long story short is that I couldn't give Sue any logical reason for doing this other than it was a faith-based decision. I said, I keep going back to the verse in the Bible where it says there's no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend, and I just felt like I was being called to do it.
How do you feel?
I feel fine. No, you know, effects from the surgery at all. You know, unless I'm talking about it to somebody, you kind of forget you even did it. So I have not had any side effects at all.
Father, how do you say thank you for a gift like that?
Thank you. You know, I think we try, you know, especially it's always in the irony of it all is, as we've talked before, I mean, I knew Jim kind of just as any other parishioner. He was a lector. He was involved in one of our mission teams, and certainly see them regularly at Mass since then. We've tried to take him out for dinner and stuff as family. We've tried to be involved. But, yeah, I think it's just a genuine thank you because, you know, what else can you do? Mm-hmm. What else can you say?
You weren't looking necessarily for a kidney in your parish. But
no, not one bit at all. But I certainly, as Jim said, I learned a long time ago, one of my classmates actually had been a newspaper reporter prior to ordination and said, if something's your story, make it your story. So there's no sense in lying. There's no sense in keeping anything from people. So I'm like, I'm just going to be honest. And being honest, it was right there in my midst. Who would have ever thought?
Mm-hmm.
Who would have ever thought?
Yeah. The answer's right in front of you.
Absolutely. Which sometimes that often is.
Yeah, for sure. Jim, in the days after that, what was it like, the recovery and doing this, did that increase your faith?
Well, you know, the recovery, I had never had major surgery before, so it was a new experience for me. But I guess it's kind of typical to most major surgeries. I was home for work for a month before I went back, and I went back like half days for 2 weeks. So it was about 6 weeks before I was back to work full time. But it was a good 3 months before I really, like, felt 100% again. I guess it, you know, takes your body a while to recover from that. So.
Yeah. We really appreciate you taking part in our little surprise for Father.
That was very good. Thanks, Jim. And good for job keeping it from me, too.
No problem.
Very good, Jim. Thanks very much for joining us. Jim Lechko.
You're welcome.
Donated the kidney to Father Joe Mamich. We only lined it up Sunday night, I think it was, Father.
Oh, it's after I left. Good job.
We didn't want the cat out of the bag. Didn't want the cat out of the bag for too long. Now, what about your recovery now? How fast could you get back into ministry?
It was 3 months. The doctors wanted me to stay away from crowds. I was actually at my parents' for 6 weeks, and then after the six-week mark, I could drive again. I was able to go back to the rectory. I could, if I wanted to, meet with staff members and that kind of stuff in a small group setting, similar to the whole COVID thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Like, all this stuff we've been doing with COVID, I made a joke that I was doing all this before it was cool.
Yeah.
And before we had to do this, I was just washing your hands, sanitizing, stay away from people, all that stuff.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I could not – I couldn't say Mass publicly up until 3 months. So I actually started back the last Sunday of July back in 2014. It was funny because it was also our parish picnic weekend. And I remember you talking about surprises. Somehow, even though I was involved in the planning of the picnic, they managed to get me a welcome back cake that opened the picnic up and surprised me.
See?
So everybody, then they started playing, the band played Welcome Back Cotter or something like that, or whatever the song was, just as a reminder. And like I said, generally speaking, you know, you take anti-rejection drugs, follow up with the doctors regularly, but up until this cancer, really had no complications.
Mm-hmm. I've had a hip replacement as well. That's bad enough.
Yeah, yeah. But I got that coming. I got another one coming up this year. But
okay. Athletics or just?
No, just prednisone.
Oh, that's right.
Just prednisone.
Okay.
It is what it is.
Well, Father Joe Mamich is our guest. We're going to come back and talk about COVID and a bunch of things, lots of challenges in today's world and certainly in today's church. And we'll do that right after this. Stay tuned. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock. I'm Paul Orlowski, and we join you each and every Sunday at this time talking about vocations. Today, the vocation to the priesthood, Father Joe Mamich is our guest on the program today. And Father, lots of challenges, and with your health issues, that presented some additional problems in addition to COVID. But you really had to mentor a young fellow that hadn't been a priest for very long to kind of take over some of the reins of St. Joseph's.
Oh, yeah. And actually, that was a blessing in disguise. You know, we talk about things happening for a reason. And Father Kevin was going into his second assignment, us as being his second assignment. He came, ironically, from my first assignment, which was Holy Family Stowe. So we shared the same pastor, Father Paul Rosing. The neat thing about it is, I guess, I knew what he would know and how Father Rosing would have raised him, per se, mentored him. And so during the COVID time, we had a lot of conversations because, you know, nobody was really going out. The sad thing for him is he really didn't get a chance to meet anybody until mm-hmm. COVID hit. And then, unfortunately, having me gotten sick so quickly early on in his time that he had to do all the sacramental work for months because I couldn't say Mass. And even though I was going through chemo and stuff, it was hard. My legs were very, very tired. I said daily Mass for a while early on, and then it just got too tiring. Almost had a fainting spell, almost passed out, but didn't. During the daily Mass, I said, you know what, I don't want to put people through this risk. So you're right. Now, luckily for Father Kevin, you know, he was very, very well trained, smart guy, very capable already. So I got to do the administrative stuff, and he became like the public face for those months until I was feeling better to say Mass and stuff.
That's no blessing doing the administration, just the administration.
No, but it was good on one hand because as tired as I was and as weak as my legs felt throughout that, it kept my mind into the game because it gave me something to do because mm-hmm. it's ironic. You know, COVID obviously slowed things down. And when all you're looking at is, what am I going to watch today? That kind of changes the whole dynamic of – and, yes, certainly I prayed and all of that, but, you know, I'm not a monk, so I'm not going to be praying 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And just trying to adjust and kind of stay active was helpful.
How tough is it? Not that it's a shock to the system of a parish, but in maybe in some ways it is, but kind of coming out of this now at some point in time.
Yeah, so one of the things
– people have to come back
to Mass. Absolutely. And one of the things that Father Kevin and I talked about from the beginning of this, especially the diocese released guidelines for how to have Mass during COVID, what we jokingly call COVID time, and the 37th week of COVID time or whatever we find ourselves in right now, is we wanted to try to make the experience of liturgy, the experience of Mass, to be as normal as possible. So to be mindful of our spacing and our distancing, our mask wearing, but also so that people still felt like it was church. And we're seeing now, we only see about 30% of our pre-COVID attendance. But it's also, on the other hand, our live stream. We had a parishioner who several years ago, we were putting a camera in so that we could do extra masses and have overflow crowds for Christmas and Easter.
Sure.
So we had all the infrastructure was there, and we were able to go live within the second week of this. First week recorded because we were missing an internet piece because there's always one thing that's not there.
And then
when we got there the second week, we were live, and that really gave us an inroad. And, you know, now we're going to keep with that, especially for our homebound folks. But I do agree. There's something nice about being able to participate in Mass online, especially from your own parish. I know a lot of people have said that. It's neat. It's great to see the cathedral, but it's even better when it's my church, my priests,
sure.
my people. But it's not the same without being able to receive the Eucharist. It's not the same without being able to be there together. And that really is my hope. And, you know, we're trying to, as groups are feeling comfortable, to start making plans for coming back. Because we know, you know, we're starting to see people vaccinated. We'll be there. We'll be ready. And, you know, we'll do what we need to do to welcome people back. And one thing that's been very unique from our parish is, even though we've had the downturn of attendance, all things considered, financially speaking, we're not doing bad. I know that's not all parishes are in that situation. So I'm really grateful to our people who've continued to support our mission, especially in that way, which then allows us to respond to requests for help during COVID time, because while those have gone down, they still exist. And so it gives us an opportunity to do that and be there for people.
A big part of any parish clearly is community. And that's going to be a challenge, I would guess.
Absolutely. And that's the toughest part right now, is because people don't see each other. They don't have the opportunity to see each other. And you know, that's the other thing. We try to stay communicative. I started during when the full lockdown. I was sending weekly emails. Now I send them monthly. But using Facebook and things that kind of don't replace but help to stay connected in some way.
Mm-hmm. Again, I know lots of priests that I've talked to, you know, thinking a lot about it's way too easy to sit at home and watch. Well, I went to Mass as opposed to sitting in the pews and –
Oh yeah,
and that community's
it's going to be an interesting time, I think, to try to reclaim that, because it's easy to not get in the car and go, especially when it's cold outside like today.
Yeah, well, Father Kevin, kind of like a lot of younger priests, they're going to be pastors at a younger age than it used to be.
Yeah,
you became a pastor at what age?
Yeah, I was a pastor at 32, and I was 5 years ordained at that point.
Okay, so you were pretty quick as well.
Yeah, and so it's more common than it used to be, and I think he'll be ready for it when the time comes. And I think one of the greatest blessings in my case, St. Joe's was my third assignment as a priest, so I had been at Holy Family at Stowe for full 4 years, St. Basil's in Brecksville for about, I think it's about 18 months, 16, 18 months, something like that, before applying and getting the pastorate at St. Joe's. To have that experience, to think about the training we get in the seminary, all of those things, and our own family background, all of that kind of experience together helps us to be ready.
Wasn't aware of this, but you just mentioned applying to be the pastor. Do you go to Father Jenny and say, hey, I'm thinking of, am I ready? Or what type of discussions do you have there?
Actually, every time a pastor retires, transfers, resigns in the diocese, all the priests of the diocese gets a fact sheet about the parish, which includes the opportunity to make an application to the clergy personnel board. It's kind of vetted a couple of times. Number one, the personnel board, the bishop has to be willing to consider you as a pastor before you'll get interviewed by the board, and then the board has to recommend you. And one of the questions they asked me at that point was, hey, did you talk to Father Walt about this? I said, as a matter of fact, I had, and he was all supportive of it because I didn't want to surprise him.
Yeah, that would not be good.
No.
Somebody calls your boss for a resume check or something,
and
they didn't know what's going on.
Right.
Back to the mail room for you.
Yes. I actually like sorting the mail.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Father Joel Mamich has been our guest. Father, your masses are online if people want to take a look.
Yes, they are. Go to our website, www.sjohio.org, and there's an option for watching live mass there.
And if they want to come in person?
Even better. We're on Pearl Road just north of the square in downtown Strongsville.
Very good. Father Joe Mamich from St. Joe's, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.
This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. We hope that you tune in to us next week.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.